I'd like to say, first of all, that I'd like to apologize to the assembly here that over my years of being in fellowship here, that I may have harmed or disappointed somebody in the assembly, and I'm sorry and I ask for your forgiveness. The 2.0 version of me would say, I was never 100% sold out. And because of that, I was a poor husband, a poor father to my children, and a poor steward for this assembly and this body. When I don't do my part, the body suffers. So there are elders here, friends, fellow riders, and black sheepers. I thought I'd get that out of the way. So my apologies. Forgive me for who I was. I'm not the same man. Anyway, the challenge mark that you gave me was interesting, I thought. Before we get started with the program, I'd like to share something that I thought that this living word has continued to be so astounding to me. There are quite a few verses of scripture when I read through John, or first John actually, that identifies or allows me to identify with when I meet true believers, because we share the same love for Jesus. Our spirits witness to one another. We love the Word. And when I read, I think it was Colossians 4:5, is that right? I thought, wow, that's a great verse. I'm sure you guys have heard it. I'll read it for you out of the King James real quick. It says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. One of the things that my brother that I am in fellowship weekly with, as we challenge each other with the scripture, I try to hedge my bet and I read, okay, let's see what this is about. So I looked a couple of verses previous and a couple after, and what I came to find out was, if you look at 3, praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Verse 6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. The interesting thing that I see in that challenge, as we are here tonight to represent our ministry and what we do, is that the challenge that I have been faced with, as I continue to tell my friends who only know the newer version of me, I'm really an introvert by trade. It's terrifying for me to do these things. But the Spirit of God compels me. That's the challenge to me, is that how it is that a man can make a profession of faith for a long time and yet do nothing with it. So I'd encourage you, whatever the gift is that God has given you, teaching or exhortation, just open your mouth. That's what God commands us to do. If you look at this and study, there's a whole lot we could do, and Mark didn't tell me how long to stay, so I don't know what to tell you about that. But it talks about speaking the mysteries of the gospel, walking in the vision of the relationship to others that are unbelievers. So don't take the gift that you've received and, you know, we used to say, hide it under a bush. So there are a lot of things. If you look at verse 6, it says, answer every man when speaking to him about the gospel. So that is the challenge. I mean, we make excuses for why we choose not to do that. But the challenge that God gave us was to come follow him and then go. And I would really tell you how much glorious my life has been when I died to self every day and I pick that cross up. And my job every day is to find one person that I can speak to about it. It's not difficult to do. It's very challenging. And sometimes we don't always do it right, but I'm not the guy that's supposed to give an account for anything other than me presenting it. Some people, I have a friend here that I used to tell him, we made up a new version of what we do here. You know, the scripture tells us that some plant, some water, some cultivate, some reap the harvest. I have a couple of friends that plow the field. But that's a real challenge. It's a real gift from God to do those kinds of things. So in saying that, what I'd like to do is talk a little bit about the black sheep here. The ministry, Mark kind of talked to me briefly about what I could and couldn't do. If I was to try to intermingle the new version of me into this story, we would be here a while. I would really like to share that with you guys because it's been such a wonderful testament to me about what God really can do when you choose to let Him control your life. So let's talk about the black sheep here. Jonathan, if you'll give me the next slide here. Most of you guys probably don't know much about motorcycles. There may be some that do. But most of you probably recognize this. This is Harley Davidson's logo. It's been around over a century. They call it the bar and the shield. So you see it on highways and byways. So it's a very recognizable logo. And trust me, if you try to infringe on it, you'll pay dearly for it. Let's talk about what black sheep do as far as the motorcycle ministry. And what I want to do is try to intermingle the story of us with the how and why it got started. And Marty Edwards, who is our founder, I'll just let Marty tell you. Go ahead, John.
My name is Marty Edwards. I'm the founding president of Black Sheep Harley Davidsons for Christ. You know, when you think about missionary work, you think about people going to Africa or China. You don't really think about motorcycles and motorcycle riders. But this is a group of people that are separated from opportunities to hear the gospel as much as a person in a third world country. And so Black Sheep Harley Davidsons for Christ is an organization that doesn't wait for the people to come to us. We go to them. We find practical ways of riding with them and serving them, taking care of hospital visits, injured bikers, grief counseling, weddings, funerals. Basically, we've decided to keep the Great Commission and to go into all the world, to go to all peoples, and to share the gospel of Jesus Christ.
So that's the focus in a nutshell. The story with Marty, and I'll give you a little history on him because it adds a lot of credence. A lot of times if I know the hows and whys, things make a lot more sense to you. So anyway, the ministry Black Sheep started approximately 18 years ago. Marty was a pastor in Southern California for many years, and he had never even owned a motorcycle. And I talked to Marty. Marty would say, I don't know if it was a midlife crisis or not. He certainly looks like a motorcycle rider. But he had never ridden one, and just all of a sudden he decided to own one because Southern California is a great place to own a motorcycle. I mean, the temperature's consistently the same, and it's just a fabulous place to be when you get away from that kind of thing. I remember when I met him the first time, he told me, he said, I physically let it sit in the garage for about 4 to 5 weeks. He said, I'd go out there and crank it, but I was scared to death to get on it and ride it because he'd never ridden a motorcycle before. So he finally got over that, and he got to it, and he went out on his first ride. A couple of months later, and the story and how I began in this process and how I knew that God was speaking directly to me when you look to find something, is he said he was out riding one day, and he had a flat on his motorcycle. So he had the flat tire. He decided, okay, well, I'll just call the dealership. So they sent this His description was this 20-something thug-looking guy, 6'4", about 260, all tatted up with inks. He looked like the regular biker type. He said the guy came out in the rollback and loaded his motorcycle, and they headed back to the dealership, about a 20, 25-minute ride, and they just chatted. And I knew exactly what he was saying. I thought, wow, I've read that somewhere. What does that sound like? Idle babbling is what that sounds like to me. So they get back to the dealership. The guy unloads the bike. Long story short, changes it, gets him going down the road, and he's off. Okay. A couple of days later, he goes by the dealership to pick up a T-shirt or something, and as soon as he walked in the dealership, he knew something was really wrong. And come to find out, the young man that had picked him up, that looked like the guy that you and I would cross the street not to walk past, was killed in a head-on collision that morning. So, other than Marty having to deal with the immediate guilt that the Spirit of God put on his heart, about what'd you do, brother? You're right there in front of him. You had 20 minutes. He couldn't get out of the truck. He was there. He was captured. But yet you spoke of me not one time. So he hung around the dealership. And it didn't matter where he went, whether he was in service and working or motor clothes or parts or customers. Everybody knew this kid and loved him. He just wasn't what he appeared to be. His physical appearance pushed Marty away. So God really convicted Marty of what he'd done. So being the good steward that he was, he prayed for forgiveness and he moved. I guess the thing that I would challenge yourself or you guys with, as well as myself, would be that when Marty told me the story and what he had not done and the reality of what he personally had chosen not to do, it's not like this is an option. You just don't take this eternal gift of salvation that God gave his only son to pay your debt and then act like your life is still your own to do whatever you want to do with it. I know exactly what I'm talking about because I did that for a long time. I can tell you this version of me enjoys so much more living. I pray a lot in the mornings when I do my quiet time. Father, please give me just one more day. That's all. I don't worry too much about 3 days from now or next week. Today. Give me something to do today that I may be worthy. So that's my challenge. So in the process that Marty was working this and God convicting him, he recognized the need inside the dealership. He recognized the need inside the community. The riders as well as the workers and those things. So at that particular point, he went to the dealer, the owner-operator of the store, and he just asked him, he said, you know what? There really seems to be a lot of troubled people here. Could I help? And the dealer said, anything you want to do, if you want to help with the bereavement, if you want to help. Because most of these people aren't church folks. They don't know where to go. So that's really the story of the ministry and how it started. Marty started dealing with these people one-on-one. And so although officially the ministry had not started, that was the birth of how it started. The interesting thing about black sheep, well, it's, John, go ahead and let me show you this real quick. This is cool.
Started back in 1999, the founders, Marty Edwards, he just felt on his heart that the Lord told him he needed to do something. He got six guys together and started Black Sheep Harley Davidson's for Christ. Now we're a national and international ministry.
And honestly, this video for us in Black Sheep Motorcycle Ministry is talking about changing from who you were, from our bad past, from the horrible things that we used to do, to what God has changed you to now. Most of us that are in Black Sheep, that's what God has done to each one of us.
This is the best, one of the best experiences of my life, praise God.
The Black Sheep will usually volunteer. We do everything from cooking to picking up trash, cleaning bathrooms, funerals, weddings, bringing people to the Lord. We do it all.
We're the light in the darkness.
They want to know about God, we tell them.
I will give you rest.
So anyway, from our perspective, the reason I'm here, representing my brothers and sisters here, is to do just that. Trying to reach an untold amount of bike guys. Make no mistake about who we are. We're not a club. We're not a Christian organization that hands out tracts. And there are a lot of good ones there. We're not a motorcycle church. I'll do you one better. I'll read my pledge to you really quick. This was given to me at the time that I received this patch, which took me 8 months to earn. We good, Bob? I am compelled by the Spirit of God to unite with the Black Sheep Harley Davidson for Christ. I understand that this is a mission, and I'm now a missionary. I understand that Hall is our primary mission field, but that we will share the love of Christ with anyone who will listen. I understand that this is a ministry in which I serve and not a club to which I merely belong. I commit, therefore, to be involved and active in my local chapter to the best of my ability. I commit to grow daily in my walk with Christ and His Word. I commit to support and attend my local church regularly. I will submit to my Black Sheep leaders and pray for them often. I will submit to the spirit of our statement of faith and bylaws. I commit to speak the truth in love, forgive when wronged, never participate in gossip or divisive behavior, for we are the body of Christ. I commit to serve, sacrifice, give, listen, love, and ride in the name of Christ. So help me God, I am a Black Sheep. Different, set apart for Christ and His kingdom. May God give us favor in our mission and keep us safe as we ride. To Him be all the glory. Amen. So I keep that with me to be constantly reminded of the charge that God has given me. I hope you all have your own charge. I have another brief video that I'd like to share with you, and then we'll finish up.
Hi, my name is Marty Edwards. I'm the International President and CEO of Black Sheep Harley Davidson's for Christ.
Oh,
Today, there are millions of people who are riding motorcycles across the United States and around the world. And within that group, there are motorcycle associations, motorcycle ministries, motorcycle clubs. The largest, by far and away, motorcycle organization in the world today is a group called Harley Owners Group, or HOG for short. And Black Sheep was formed in 1999 to basically care for the needs of the Harley.
You find a lot of bikers in church on Sunday morning. And so that's where Black Sheep comes in. Over the last 13 years, biker organizations have learned to trust Black Sheep. We've performed their weddings. We've done their funerals. We've visited them in the hospital. We've raised money for worthy causes. We've earned the right to be heard crisscross the country, going to the major biker rallies in Sturgis, Daytona, Laughlin, Nevada, Laconia, New Hampshire. We're there. We set up a booth. We introduce ourselves. We meet the riders in that area. We pass out our literature. Sometimes we shine boots. Sometimes we help park bikes. It's all about them getting to know us.
So what I'd like to say to Marty's response is, you look at these guys and gals, and most of us are not going to walk up and talk to these guys. I would say that in response to what Marty says, there are almost 2 million HOG members in this country. It's an astounding amount of people that, for the most part, don't have any type of religious affiliation. And what we do is we just engage with these guys. We serve. We might pick up trash. We might go to a rally, as you saw, and we might have a boot shine station where we get somebody in and sit them down and go, hey, where are you guys from? Give you some water, shine your boots. How's your family doing? You know, is there something we can pray for you about? If you choose not to engage with your fellow mankind, witnessing becomes a chore. When you love your fellow man, as the scripture teaches you to do, it's a much easier job. So what do? We serve, we engage people, we pray, we bless bikes and rides. We do weddings and funerals, as Marty said, and we still have to deal with the occasional weird and different individual. Some of the things that we deal with, aside from the hogs, and not as much in this part of the country, is the one percenters. They're pretty prevalent for where Bob and Arlene are from, which is Southern California. A lot of the outlaw guys out there. The last thing I want to talk about is, you did say we were good on time, right? This particular Black Sheep slide is interesting. I really wish that I had the time to tell you the story behind it. It's a very cool story. When God made this miraculous change in my life, it's really easy, as my brother Dane would tell me, it's really easy to identify God moving in your life when you're walking with Him every minute of every day. And what happened was, I was desperately looking for something to do. And I just saw Black Sheep one day. I thought, well, that's pretty cool. So I sent the guys an email, and they go, yeah, well, that's great. And he calls me back. And so the story really tells how this whole thing, God maneuvered them. I couldn't be a Black Sheep until I had somebody that would mentor me. And the closest one was south of Atlanta. So Marty and I prayed about it, unbeknownst to everybody else. And about 6 months went by, and I was prepping myself by learning to witness, studying the scripture, dying to myself every day, the things that God tells us to do anyway. And then I get a call. I get a call from Bob and Arlene. They go, is this Mike Lewis? And I went, yep. And they go, well, Mike, we're in Hickory, and we're supposed to be calling you. So to me, I know it seemed very strange to these guys, but to me, I knew exactly what had just transpired, that God had moved somebody close enough to me to bring me to this ministry. And that's what you read in the article. They wanted to publish it and talk about how the training goes place and what we do to make ourselves accountable to each other as far as being a good witness and a disciple. So anyway, the story is cool. If you want to read it, you can go online. It's distributed to all the Harley-Davidson dealerships within the country. If you want to flip on through, Jonathan, there's some really cool articles in it, ILS 2018, which we just had. And oddly enough, we have a lot of preachers involved, and they write some really cool articles with a lot of scripture in it. The second part of the article is in the following month's magazine, and I just wanted to touch on one thing. The interesting thing that God will do when you make yourself available, when you absolutely die to self, and that story is exceptionally interesting. Would love to share it as well. Knew I had done it the minute I did it, because it no longer became about me, and my pride just kind of disappeared. I never thought about what anybody was going to think much anymore, and I sought people with more knowledge. I have to tell you this, it was very embarrassing to me, and when I started this process, that my current pastor said, "Brother, you need to be mentored." And he put me with somebody that had been saved 4 years and was half my age. That was a tough one to swallow. But I did, and it was a miraculous relationship. I have some of my brothers here tonight, and they are a very unique breed. The accountability they've given me and the love that they've shown for each other is just amazing. This brother you see in the upper right-hand corner, I won't tell you the story. I'll only tell you that after I received the patch, it was a wonderful ceremony. Bob, Arlene, and I were up in Maggie Valley, and Scott was there with us. And we have about 70 to 100 different guys that show up in Maggie Valley every year that ride custom Harley Davidsons. They're a pretty good group of guys, and Bob was trying to figure out where to do the patching ceremony because he wanted it to be a big deal. We didn't have anybody here, and really small group in Hickory, so as the father would allow you to do occasionally, he worked it out where the guys up there, one of the guys had a crash, and they said, "Will you guys pray for him when we eat tonight? There's going to be 7 or 8 of us under the tent, and we're going to all eat. Would you pray? And while you're at it, why don't you do your patching ceremony?" So I thought, wow, how cool is that going to be? Because it would have taken me years to get in front of 80 of those guys and to be able to share what I was able to share with them about. Because I remember very distinctly telling them, "This is Bob told what the patch is for and the ministry." And then he goes, "Okay, you read your pledge." I read my pledge. And I said, "I did this for you guys because I want you to know the same Jesus I know." So it was a really cool experience. When I get home, my first hog meeting, which we go to support these guys, my first hog meeting I go to, I meet this guy and his wife in the meeting. And we chatted briefly. I said, "This is who I am. This is what I'm going to do. I'm here to serve you guys. I want to pray for you. I want to watch over and care for you if there's anything I can help you with. But the big deal is I want to make sure you're secure in who you are and that you're going to be in heaven." Got up from the table, walked off. I got about halfway home, and the same thing happened to me that happened to Marty. I get that little zing, you know, that goes, "Zzz. What were you doing? You're sitting across the table from these guys and you never talked about me." 10 days later, I get the phone call, and it's his best friend. He goes, "Well, our brother was in a head-on collision and not sure he's going to make it to the hospital. So I pulled the truck over to the side of the road, and I just remember praying a lot of things for his health and safety. But God really impressed me to say, would you let him live long enough for me to do what I should have done to begin with? The miraculous part of the story is he did that. I remember when he first came out from under the ether. He was busted up really bad. They told him he was going to lose both his legs from the knees down. His back was broken in four or five places. He just cursed God and wanted to die. Because he knew what his future looked like. So we talked, and I hate hospitals with a passion, so it was a real challenge for me to just go and visit. But I sat with the family, and I listened to them, and we had a really cool experience with a state patrolman. By the way, you live in a great state. This guy walks into the room with 90 people in there and goes, I'm officer in charge of this investigation. I feel compelled to pray. I thought, wow, what a cool place to be. So he did it. And the long and short of the story is Gary and I through the next 4 or 5 months progressed. One day I remember I was leaving. I said, I love you, brother. He goes, I love you too. Then came the day. We were sitting there talking about how he was going to do the surgery tomorrow, and they had told him he was only going to lose one leg instead of two, and we were making a good thing out of it. And I scooted the chair over by the bed, and I said, I know you're here and you're in your right mind. I said, I've got to make sure you understand before they put you under again where you stand before God. And we quoted some scripture to him, and we talked a little bit briefly, and wow, the next thing I knew, he was crying and made a profession of faith. And so therein lies the story, the faithfulness of God to me, to my brother, and that's what we do. I would encourage you, if you have any additional information, and our charge here is to try and open a chapter in Greensboro area. If you know someone that rides and could benefit our ministry, that we could pray for them or talk to them or visit with them, I would challenge you to do that, simply because it's the thing to do if you are who you say you are. I'm sure you know somebody that rides, or somebody that knows somebody that rides, or maybe just the fact that you can put us in front of some other assemblies or churches that would be willing to hear our story. I'll let Marty finish it up for us real quick.
Hi, my name is Marty Edwards, and I'm the International President for Black Sheep Harley-Davidson's for Christ. I want to invite you to check us out. We're a Christian motorcycle ministry who shares the gospel with bikers in very real, practical ways. We do weddings, we do funerals, we do grief counseling. We love to visit people in the hospital. But we also ride with our friends who are bikers. We are, quite literally, as Jesus said, friend of sinners. And I want to invite you to look into us and see if this isn't right for you in your city, in your town, in your country. BlacksheepHDFC.org or call 951-677-1407. God bless. Ride safe.
You want me to press that? Okay. Father, thank you for this time together. I thank you for the smiling faces and the friendships that we have here. I claim your word, Father, that says where two or more gather in your presence, you're here. And you hear us and you hear our petitions. I pray, Father, that no one will leave this place the same. I pray that these people here, as I know they will faithfully continue to pray for this ministry and anything that we can do to win crowns for you and more souls for heaven. Give us boldness. Help us reach out and challenge those around us and ask them about their eternal destination. In Christ's name, amen.